everyone, and welcome to the Is the Comic Book
Panel. Yes! Oh, I'm sorry, I'm on the panel.
Panel's over, we can all go home.
This is the most inflammatory title I could come up with for this. We have an all-star panel of people with very strong opinions and very well-informed opinions on the subject. We have Amanda Emmert of Comics Pro, Laura Hudson of Comics Alliance, Vijaya Iyer of Cartoon Books, and Mark Wade of many, many things. So just to get things started, I want to clarify that we're specifically talking about the comic book, not the whole medium, just the staple, periodical, print, serial pamphlet. And this is something that people have been talking about for a long time. It's like, you know, maybe it's got 5 years left to live, and it's had that five-year window for 30 years or so now. I think they'll be saying earlier on. But as far as each of you are concerned, first of all, what's the current state of the print periodical comic book?
Well, do you mean overall industry numbers?
The health of it.
Well, I think with the economy downturn a couple of years ago, we saw a couple of years where things were slowing down for retailers. But so far, everything's picking back up. Retailers this year have been reporting all across the country that sales are back up. Things are getting better. We're talking a lot more about expansion. More stores are expanding now. So there's a lot more going into the print comic this year than there has been in the last couple of years, just as the economy rebounds.
I mean, talking specifically about the pamphlet, there was the ICBU conference the other night. And as much as, those numbers can be trusted and are stable, I think it said it was the periodical comic sales were down 8% for 2011 so far, for the first half of 2011. So there's that.
Now, is that overall sales or average sale per title?
I believe that's overall sales.
Okay.
Well, I mean, I'll just say that when Cartoon Books started publishing 20 years ago, my husband, Jeff Swings, sorry, we published Bone together. Comics were sold the month we decided to go into it, comics sold 7.1 million copies. So the drop-off to today is around less than 100,000 copies. So there, over the last 20 years, there has been a drop-off, and I know I'm not supposed to talk about just the floppy comics, but with the loss of those sales for us, there has been an increase in trade paperback sales, and I think that for us, that is a huge saving. So.
To throw the question back your way, to you, the expansion that you see here coming up, and again, I think that's great. I mean, I don't think anybody in this room wants to see comic book stores go away. How much of that expansion do you credit to the actual floppies coming back in terms of the sales rising, and how much of that is trade paperback, how much of that is the market in general?
Well, a lot of it is, I think a lot of the downturn was the market in general as well. And I think when we talk about the numbers like millions of copies per issue sold, well, there's also a more breadth than necessarily there is depth as well. So while you used to have facings that, like, you had 100 most popular facings, and now if you don't have 300 most popular facings, you're not doing a very good job. So I think there's a lot more breadth coming out too. But of course, as other parts go up, like trade paperbacks go up and singles go up and things like that. But I'm talking specifically like how things have gone down and gone back up. And a lot of it is the numbers that we track in the industry come from single places. And a lot of the retailers I know, it's no longer you're just dealing with one or two distributors. There's a lot of things that you're going on. And it's not just the top couple companies we're looking at from one place, and we're judging the entire industry based on the fluctuation of that number. A lot of the people who are doing it, you're not counting the 19 other places that they're trading in and getting and things like that. So I think those things that freak everyone out all the time, a lot of times we're trained to watch things based on 20 years ago, you know what I mean, but not how it operates today.
No, a lot of things change. I mean, one of the common caterwaulings among the John Byrne message board crowd, the sort of like the angry Springfield retirement message board, people who have been reading comics since 1904 4 are like, well, you know, comics used to sell 3 million copies. Yeah, but they were dime.
Yeah.
But they were dime. And they didn't make that kind of, you know, you have to take that into account that doesn't necessarily mean if they're not as profitable in some ways, that they're not, that there's not money coming. Just because sales are down from a million copies to 80,000, you know, there are other factors. My question is now just use Bone as an example, though, because it kind of leads me to where I want to talk about with the state of periodical comics for non-Marvel DC publishers. If you don't mind me asking, you don't have to answer if you don't feel comfortable, but at what, when you were doing the floppies, when you were doing the monthly installments, at your lowest point, what was your circulation ballpark?
3,000.
Exactly. So you were at some point you were selling 3,000 copies.
Well, not quite. The print run was 3,000, but this was at the very beginning.
Right. This is an important thing now. All right. So, and those books were costing you at that time roughly how much per unit to print? Do you remember? Ballpark.
That was a long time ago.
But ballpark.
That, you know, 30-40 cents.
Right. 30-40 cents. Okay. So right now, so that you could conceivably on 3,000 copies, I mean, nobody was doing much more than eating ramen noodles, I'm sure, but at that point, at least it wasn't, you weren't just hemorrhaging money. Well, but right now we're at the state, as print continues to dwindle in all, you know, across the magazine sales, book sales, everything, as the digital medium continues to somersault past this, that 3,000 copy print run today, even in black and white, would cost you, you know, at least double that, if not more. And you could conceivably, what was your price point at that point? Was it
$2.95.
Mike, there's another microphone.
Another microphone. Yeah. Look at that. Please. Okay. We can stop our ventriloquist act now. So that's about what you would. So what you're talking about is that 3,000 copies at $2.95, you weren't doing great to begin with, and if you're now paying twice that to print, which you'd be doing today if you were launching, there's no way you could make it, right? I mean, there's no way you could possibly make it.
There's no way, and also because the distribution system has kind of condensed down to one company, I don't even think that viably you would be allowed to continue to distribute with those numbers.
No, because Diamond has certain thresholds under which, you know, if you're selling under a certain threshold, they won't carry your book, because they're a business too. Not to hijack the panel, but just to conclude my statement, I think that the comics and floppies will continue to be healthy for a while longer for Marvel and DC, because they've got deep pockets and because they've got the kind of print runs where it allows you on a per unit basis to print at a reasonable cost. But I know that if I were starting my own line of books today, if I were starting a publishing company today, even with a sort of a name brand that I'm not just some brand new guy. I'm not the most famous comics creator in the world, but I have some cachet. Even with that behind me, I'm looking at the numbers. I know what those books would cost to print, and I know what they would bring in terms of revenue, and I would lose my shirt. And that's me. And that's me coming out with stuff that, you know, could sell maybe even 7,000-8,000 copies an issue. I don't know how you could possibly do it. I don't know that Kirkman could launch Walking Dead today. I don't know that you could launch Invincible today. Maybe you could, maybe you couldn't, I don't know. But I do know that I challenge you to find me, you know, 5 books in the top 100 that, you know, or the top 50, let's say, that are profitable and career-owned on a monthly basis.
And Amanda, what's your take on that from a retailer's point of view? Is it possible for something that is not a big two title that comes out of nowhere that sells for $3.50 or $3.99 to sell enough to make that, to make a break even point?
Well, yeah, I would say yes, it is. And there's a lot of out of the gate. It still depends on content. I mean, it still depends on how great the book is. Books like Chew weren't the top 2 books. The books that everyone was loving and applauding and clapping at the Eisners last night weren't, you know, all the top 2 books. It's not necessarily, okay, when things get tight and sales go down, there are lower tiers that aren't as saleable, that are no longer supported. Does that mean that a really great book, you know, at the same time that Bone launched, there were a ton, hundreds of thousands of other comics that weren't as good, that they're not sitting on a panel today. It's not necessarily just the price point. It's the books that stand out. So to use Bone as an example, you know, those kind of things rise up through the ranks, and it's a testament to how much you guys put into it and how much, you know, love and drive and everything, even at those initial stages. And there's several years before things were, like, really rolling, that you guys kept it going and everything. So it's not just necessarily about the cost of the book. I mean, yes, that means that there are some stuff that's less saleable, that's not as supported, but it doesn't mean it's impossible to get into stores. It doesn't mean it's possible to make happen. And this isn't from a retail perspective as much, but with the publishers, it's the smaller publishers that talk about 8,000 as a print run being profitable enough to keep going, more so than Marvel and DC. Marvel and DC are like, hey, we need to cut off these bottom tiers. DC's new relaunch has been a lot of, hey, we need to cut out those bottom sellers that aren't doing as well. And they're talking about nearly double those print runs. And it's the mid-tier publishers that are like, yeah, I can make 8,000 work. So, and that's not from necessarily a retail point of view. So you might have a better window into that. But that's the anecdotally what they're saying, is that's a little bit easier to do.
Yeah. I don't think we're arguing. I think we're coming at it from a different perspective. That's all. I think that everything you said makes sense. But I just don't know many guys outside of, you got Marvel, DC, Image. I think this month you got Dynamite is number 4. You know, you got
IDW.
You got Boom is like 7 or 8 or something. You got, you know,
and Archaea's making waves and things like that.
But again, talking to the creators I know, talking to the friends I have in the industry, talking to my peers, I'm just the sense is, oh dear God, you know, we want to be the next Chew, even we want to be the next Lightning in a Bottle book. But the chance of getting to issue 3 or issue 4 without your sales sliding down to below 9.
I really feel like this is a redefinition of terms. I feel like it's a redefinition of perspective. Because when you talk about, is it doomed, and what do you use as proof? Well, is it tight? Did sales go down after the last couple of years of the economy and everything like that? Well, yeah. Does that necessarily point to doomed? Not necessarily. There's a lot of people still making money. And they're the examples that were given, as you get to a certain perspective, how hungry are you? I mean, are you at the point in your career where you're ready to kill it for 5 years and just grind it out and make a great book that's 20 years later loved across the world?
While selling at a loss.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that wasn't different 20 years ago. You still had to kill it. You still had to grind it out to get that, the ground.
With all due respect, I disagree. I think your chances were much better at least breaking even 20 years ago. I could be wrong, but I
think you still had to put in that same kind of sweat. I just like business. I mean, you get to a certain point where, yeah, it's not worth it to you to kill yourself for years and years and years to get your business going. It's like a store owner. You've owned a store for 20 years, not feeling the same, like, oh, I'm willing to just, like, eat ramen noodles for 5 years to get this going. How hungry are you? Where's your drive? Is it still possible? Yes. Is it hard to break in? Yes, I think so. And you might be perfectly right. 20 years ago, it might have been a lot easier just because there was fewer standout titles.
Overall circulation was higher.
Well, again, yeah, like I said, it's when sales are up, it's easier to support the lowest tier. When sales are tight, it's tougher to support things that aren't as saleable. So if I've got something that 50 people are asking me for, then it's easier to make that happen in times when there's something that just one person in the store might be interested in. Okay, I can carry it.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think we can just specifically point to the economic downturn as the only reason that this is happening. Also at the ICV2 conference, at the same time as periodical sales were going down, graphic novel sales were going up.
No, you know,
but the question is about the sustainability of making and selling comics in periodical form. To reframe the question, we see the audience for periodical comics gradually diminishing over time. The top-selling titles, the numbers go down, 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 down. Everything else is a gradual slide, and at what point does that no longer become reasonably feasible to do in that format, in that print, periodical, serial format?
Right. Well, and that's what I'm talking about when it comes to, like, you see the restructuring going on and DC wanting to shake it up with the number ones, because it's automatically built into the industry. Number one sales are here, number two sales are here, and it goes down, and then it kind of bottoms out for a while. What do you do to shake it up? You get another number one, there's another Walking Dead, there's another Chew, that kind of thing. is that still possible? Yeah, so it's kind of, like I said, it just seems like it's a definition of terms. Is it expensive to start stuff? Yes. Is it expensive to start businesses? Yes, to go off of. Does that mean it's doomed forever and impossible? No. There's been plenty of ups and downs in the industry. You know, and you're right that it's not just the economy. I mean, a lot of it is we need more comic book stores. We need more outlets. With outlets going down, with the places to buy comics going down, and not as many people having that. You know, in retail, we have the same thing. You open a comic book store, you've got to kill it for 5 years before everything's really rocking and going really well, too. We need people fed back into that system so that we have more places for those comics to go, just hands down. We need more. We need it seen more places. So
right. Right. Even where you are seeing that growth, a lot of the growth that you're seeing is in the bookstore market. You know,
yeah, and
even for the graphic novels, as opposed to the brick-and-mortar comic shops.
Right, and look where that, you know, there's a lot of bookstore trouble that's going down. You're going to see undulations based on, you know, one company not being able to make it and wrapping up stores. So, yeah. Like I said, I think it's just you see a lot of nature and you see things downturning and everybody gets really nervous and everybody gets really upset and, oh, it's never going to happen and it's going to die within 5 years, you know, like Bill was saying. And, you know, you're 10 years later, you're like, okay, is it going to die again in 5 years? You know.
So, I wasn't saying it's going to die in 5 years.
No, yeah. Bill's point was that generally at any one time, everyone has said the comic book is going to die in 5 years. 20 years ago, it was the same thing. It's going to die in 5 years. And then the internet, everybody's on the internet, and you're never going to go anywhere to shop ever. So comics were dead in 5 years and everything. So every time something new has happened, it's the new death of comic books. And so, you know, 10 years from now, we'll have another panel like, oh, it's dead now for sure, dude. So.
I was just going to throw out there, I mean, as far as us as a small publisher, we will continue to publish comic books as long as there's a demand for it. And unfortunately, like, our model right now is those books subsidize the cost of production. They don't cover it. So we actually do make our money on the trade books. So we will, you know, but people want comic books. People still want them. They want them. And it's not, you know, we're not losing money making them. We're gonna keep doing that. There's no reason not to.
So to flip that question, actually, what would make it not worthwhile to do that? What's the doomsday scenario, the extinction event?
Numbers. I mean.
What's the numbers?
I actually heard a really good extinction event.
Okay.
I was talking to Paul Levitz the other night, and what's the major danger in this industry? He's like, well, we had a downturn in the 80s up until the 90s, you know, where things started to ramp back up. And the thing that kept it going is that, you know, you were in it, and you either busted your butt and you made it work, or you got another job. You got out. And so, you know, it was either eat, you know, make it work, grind what you can and eat, or you left. And the thing that's happening with comics now and the really large companies now is that they're part of huge entertainment conglomerates. And instead of it being something that, you know, you're living and dying based on how well it works, it's, you know, numbers in a table. Is it worth it to keep this particular publishing arm going? Is that necessarily worth it? Is a bigger danger than the idea of no, people would rather read trade paperbacks to the periodical comics. So
yeah.
That's the doomsday, is like, we want those mid-list publishers, we want those stores out there and everything like that, the people who are in it to win it, in it to make it work. We've got that influx and keep those going. The people who are going to get out there and grind, you know, during the lean years, we're going to keep pushing it.
But they don't exist without a Marvel or a DC. I mean,
right, no, I'm not saying.
I'm saying that the doomsday scenario is, you know, DC buys Diamond and Marvel freaks out and does something stupid, or vice versa.
Yeah.
And again, and the you know, or Diamond finally goes out of business.
Yeah.
God help them. That's your doomsday scenario. Is that there's so many. I'm not saying the comic. I think periodical comics, as long as things don't change drastically in that scenario, periodical comics from the bigger publishers will still be a viable, you know, probably still be around for a while, but oh my god, there's just so many bombs bouncing around on the deck of the ship at this moment as we list back and forth that, you know, in terms of Diamond, in terms of Marvel, in terms of what's DC going to do. Any one of those, I think, doesn't that bankrupt the entire direct distribution system as we have it now? If Marvel tomorrow decides, we're not going to go through Diamond anymore, or God forbid, DC just says, you know, we're not going to publish comics anymore?
Yeah, and well, I think that, you know, like I said, that was the only thing we can think of, is like, what's a doomsday catalyst would be a giant publisher just no longer caring. Do I think that's going to happen? No, I don't. I don't
think we're close to it. Now, why do you think that's not, I'm curious. Now, why do you think, I'm not arguing, I'm just curious why you think that's not going to happen.
I'll get back to that really quick.
Okay.
But the second thing is, I think that if it did, I think that we would rebound. I still think that we've got enough people. I think that we got enough people who are invested enough to come into it. And like I said, while the exclusive publishers is still mainly Diamond, it's not everybody's main distribution anymore. I just think stores are different enough now that you don't rely as much just on the one avenue. I think that's different. It's not like distribution ceases to exist. Comic book stores everywhere. Yes, would it hurt? Oh my gosh. Yeah, of course.
You mean in terms of like the diversification, having toys, merchandise?
No, I mean even with comics. I mean you've got some exclusive comics coming out, but I'm just saying that it's not like all retailers everywhere suddenly don't know how to procure any product or anything like that. Yes, would it make a big ripple?
Enough,
yes.
But if enough of them don't know, and enough of them freak out over the fact they're no longer selling periodical bit comics to stay in business on a week-to-week basis, if enough of them
fold... Well,
it
would just become really quick, like how quickly could you get those products through another channel? And how quickly could that distribution come up?
If you had to go 1 month without Diamond, if the industry had to go 1 month without Diamond before somebody else picked up the slack, say, what percentage of stores do you think would survive?
And I still couldn't even say because a lot of those people that are really working in it are savvy enough that I can't imagine them sitting around waiting for a month. I mean, if they heard that this was coming weeks before it was coming or that it exposed that there was some magical way to keep something secret in the industry and no one knew and suddenly tomorrow it's gone with no one knowing anything. I think they're savvy enough to...
When Marvel bought Heroes World,
They're savvy enough, but I mean, we still survived it. Yes, are people still bringing that up as an example of a reason to be angry at Marvel? Yes.
It's an example of an unprecedented sea change that seemed to come out of nowhere.
But it was still something talked about all around that issue. It was still talked about. So I'm just saying, suppose that there's some magical way that just absolutely changed the next day. I think there are people savvy enough that they're not going to wait a month. They're going to be working right then on distribution. Okay, how are we going to get this otherwise? What are we going to do? I think the people are, it's not just a cut-off sort of scenario, you know.
I'd be fascinated to see what that would do to digital numbers also.
I was going to say, changing the equilibrium does not mean it's the end times.
No.
That could potentially be very positive.
No, I think a lot of times I think that the industry probably needs to crash the medium to really survive and have another giant renaissance. But I don't know. I think, again, I respect where you're coming from, and you obviously have information that I don't have, and vice versa. I think that I'm dubious that I'm not saying it would happen. I'm dubious that a catastrophic sea change like that, that an extinction event like that, wouldn't drive enough stores who are working week to week to make their invoice, and drive enough of them out of business to create this cascade where suddenly now even the big guys, the current runs, are now 60% of what they were because they're not selling to enough stores. I don't know.
Right. And I'm with you. And in publishing, it's just like in retail. You've got, in the really great boom years, it supports a lot of stores that otherwise wouldn't make it. In tight years, you lose a lot of stores just out of they're not strong enough to survive. So it's the exact same in retail. So would we go down? But it's the 80-20 rule still applies. You know, there's a number of retailers that are basically like quite a lot of the print runs that are going to that aren't at the same, you know, catastrophic dive.
Explain the 80-20 rule out there.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
That's right. No.
Cliche is crazy here. That 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. Or the vice versa, you know, 80% of the
health of the industry is carried by 20% of the stores.
Right, necessarily. Yeah, necessarily. So you still have a lot of really savvy people, and what we want is, that's not saying anything bad about, you know, the rest of the stores. We want stores of all sizes. We want more stores. We want them more places. But am I saying that none of them would have any sort of problem if we had a distribution change? No, of course not. But we would have the same kind of dips down. But is it doomed end of industry? I still don't see it.
Mark, I'd be curious, when you mentioned before that you think sometimes the industry needs to crash in order to sort of come back, to me, I think implicit in that is that there are things that need to be changed. I'd be curious to know what things do you think need to change? Maybe they can happen before the crash.
Well, I think we're seeing it now, and I think it's, like I said, I don't think, assuming no, catastrophic event happens, I think that Marvel and DC are going to be in the comic publishing business for a long time, but I just see fewer and fewer smaller publishers able to make it without, certainly, and more importantly, able to make it on what has always been, I think, creatively the backbone of comics, which is the original IP, which, it's one thing to launch your, you can get a certain amount of sales in your Battlestar Galactica comic or your Planet of the Apes comic or whatever your, whatever franchise is chaseable right this second. I don't know without John Layman here, and I would love to get him on the phone right now. Like, hey, John, knowing what you know now, do you think, given the numbers you got now, would you be able to launch Chew today? And I'm not sure he would. I can't speak for John, but I'm not sure he'd be able to.
It's not that old.
What?
I said, well, it's not that old.
I know, but look at where we are compared to even 2 years ago. I think that, it's the overall periodical sales are still not. I mean, they're only going down. They're only going down. They're going down gradually, sometimes steeply, but they're only going down.
Well, and there's. I'm sorry.
And the question is, at what point does that become unsustainable, even for Marvel DC Image? When do you cross that threshold of like it just doesn't make sense to be doing this in this format anymore?
Well, like I said, I think when you say even Marvel DC Image, I think the threshold's higher for Marvel and DC, and it's the mid-list publishers that keep things going
that have no trouble at the
8,000.
Right. Okay. Mid-list publishers are going to go first. But.
All right. So to answer your question, my feeling is that smaller publishers need to find ways to, instead of the old format of, I'm going to do a 4-issue miniseries in print that I'll lose my shirt on, but it will subsidize my trade paperback and therefore I'll make some money. You've got to find some way to make that transition from doing it in print to doing it on the web, because print costs are killing. Print costs are at this point, and they're only going to get steeper.
Wait, so you're saying that if you... Because...
Here's what I'm saying. If you're Brian Hitch or Brian Michael Bendis or J.H. Williams, yes. But if you're two guys in a basement,
You explained the cost breakdown a couple days ago at the ICBT
The cost breakdown is this. On a print run of 5,000 copies of a color comic, 24-page color comic. And this is not proprietary information. Most smaller publishers, the third, fourth, fifth tier publishers, have these same kind of numbers. They're going to cost you anywhere from $1 to $1.10 a copy to print, even if they cost you, say, 90 cents. This is the first time...
Those aren't the same numbers that I hear from...
Really?
Yeah, from publishers.
Who? From bigger publishers?
No, the mid-size publishers.
From Dynamite, from those guys?
That ask... Well, I would even say go down smaller than that.
Really?
Yeah.
Color comics.
Maybe, yeah. Because they talk about all the time. We talk about, hey, can you throw extra copies on that? Yeah, it's not the cost of the physical copies themselves when it comes to issues.
We need to hash this out at some point. I have different information at my fingertips, and both of us are not exactly, I think probably the truth is somewhere in the middle, but even still, if I'm selling my $3.99 comic to Diamond, if I'm retailing my comic $3.99, that means I'm getting about $1.60 back in Diamond. Because that's the way these are real rough numbers. Of that, if it costs me in the neighborhood of $1 one way or another to print the thing, holy crap, that leaves me 60 cents tops to cover all my overhead on everything else, to get my lettering, to get my coloring, to get my art, to get my to everything. And that is not a sustainable business model, and it's only going to get more expensive. Print costs are not going to drop at this point. They're just not. There's not enough resources. There's not enough demand for them to drop as the magazine and print industry shrinks. That's my point. That's where all of my fervor, all of my passion is coming out of, that basic understanding. If it turns out that comics cost 30 cents to print and I'm full of crap, I got to take a whole new perspective on this thing. But I still believe, based on the information I have, my numbers are more accurate.
Yeah, we should go ask. Because we talk about all the time, like we work through Comics Pro, we work on getting, you know, real small print runs, like 500 copies, 1,000 copies or whatever done for people. And the issue is always like, oh no, it's not the physical books that so much as the creation to go into them. But I'm not a publisher, so. But, you know, when it comes to, I gotta say, it's easier for your book. And we have to define what terms we're talking about. Are you a micro publisher? Are you a guy in a basement making a book? Are you Image Comics that gives a lot of indie type books a little bit more oomph? You know, what are we talking about? We're talking about a publisher, but it's easier for your book to stand out in a comic book store than it is on the internet. Everything. So there's also that. You know, if you're fighting against an average of 300 to 400 facings, you're fighting against infinity.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if I would agree about that in terms of the internet at all.
Here's another recruiting question for Virginia. Would you say it would be, like, if you and Jeff were coming out of nowhere now, would it be possible for you to launch Bone now?
Not the way we did 20 years ago. It would have to be an entirely new model. And people ask me this all the time. How do I get into comics? I'm like, I don't know. The model has completely changed, and I don't think you can do it without doing some digital promotion.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, there just isn't a way. And again, like I said, our model has, well, it hasn't always been, but when we started publishing the comic books, shortly thereafter, when we had a story arc, we started publishing trade books, and we realized that is the way to go, because then you have a perennial, an item that can sell perennially. A comic book is a time-sensitive pamphlet. You read it, I read it, and then I crumple it up and I throw it in the trash. And if it's a good one, I'll wait for the trade book and I'll buy a trade book.
I'm a retailer.
Does anyone not follow this model anymore? I mean, that's the model.
I'm a retailer, and personally, I do the same thing with my single-issue books, but we also seed the market to make those trade paperbacks a little bit better. I mean, a lot of us sell more copies of the Walking Dead trade than we do of the copies of the single book. But to get to that point with the Walking Dead trades, we seeded that with the single issues. It was seeded with the single issues. So the single issues a lot of times lead those trades. Does liking a comic book mean that you're against the graphic novel sales going up, or it's an adversarial thing? No, of course not. Does it mean that you're against digital promotion? Absolutely not. Do we want to use digital? You should absolutely be using digital to promote comics. You should absolutely be using digital. But, I mean, should you wish for the death of the 32-page pamphlet because you like digital comics? No.
I mean, we're essentially talking about comics in this in periodical form as a sort of advertisement then for the graphic novel, even outside of it being profitable.
There's a lot of people that use it that way.
I mean, if that's what it is, does it really matter if it's in print or if it's in digital?
Well, it does because you're selling to people who are...
You're selling to people in specialty stores in very, very limited markets.
Is your question, can you also promote it digitally? Yes. So that's not to say that
that doesn't work. Is that even the best way? If that's what it is and it's not profitable, is that even the best way to do it?
Yeah, from the retail standpoint, it's a lot more successful with more titles to seed with the print comic. And there's also, they're making money back from that necessarily than... There are standouts. I mean, like, you know, they put Penny Arcade for free online for years and years and years. You still make money when you sell the physical book. Yep. So is that a model that can work? Yes. Does it always work? Not necessarily. Is it a better method than what we've got with printing the actual book? Not for all books. It depends. If you're, like I said, if you're a micro-publisher, if you're a person who wants to create books, that's probably a better model. If you're doing an image style of size, you know, you you're an indie publisher, you're signed up with Image, and you're going with Image, stuff like that. I think it's a much better model to put the single issue pamphlets.
I'm just trying to figure out if we're talking about comics as useful, profitable items in and of themselves, or just things that help sell.
Right, I still think they are while selling the graphic novel. Yeah. Not every book works like Walking Dead, though, either. Not every book you sell more of the trade than you do of the single issue. It's not like that's the example. I'm just saying it can happen.
So, we are going to have to end on time because one of our panelists is on another panel, which we have to end things. So before I open it up to questions, I'm going to lay down a couple of ground rules. Ground rule one is you must ask your question in the form of a question. Ground rule number two is you don't get a follow-up. Ground rule number three is your question must be germane to the topic at hand, which is the staple serial periodical comic. That said, sir.
Thanks. Considering the fact that we've seen this over the last 10 years, digital wave blow through intellectual property businesses, music, where we saw the power letters blow, video, where we saw the blockbusters closing, books, where we're seeing all the borders closing, and Amazon selling more digital books than regular books. I wanted to know what would make any of the panelists think that wave is not going to go through comics in the same way. And not that the comic book will end as a viable medium, but that the retail distribution by floppies on a weekly basis is going to go the same direction that everything else in the media.
When I gets asked, that's a perfectly fair question. I guess asked all the time, and a lot of what's come up in comics, and we're talking about comics as a market that's small compared to those larger markets. And when you talk about like it devastating the music industry, it was because it was this, and they were making this much, and now they're making this much, and then comics being in the great years. Being a small part of that. You know what I mean? So it's not the exact same thing. Like, we're not worried about losing our jets this year. The comic book retailer's like, oh my God, I've got another jet that I have to sell because look, things are going. You know what I mean? So we're economy of scale-wise, it's a little different. But do those translate as well? The comic book, to this point, hasn't translated as well from print to digital as easily as music and as portably as movies. Now, a main fear with comics is, well, are comics going to start to be made to fit better digitally? I mean, if everyone keeps talking about...
I love the fact that it's your main fear and it's my main excitement.
Yeah, well, seriously, just perfectly honest. I mean, if you start turning everybody's heads like, oh, digital, they go. I got to bring up that, I mean, you're still talking about where 1% of the money is. Maybe, okay, so 2% of the money,
that
depending on who you're talking about.
Comics 7 more years to open like a store to sell it online than that music.
Yeah. Right. So, I'm talking about that stuff's not happening soon. And then to go towards the borders, because that's a little closer, right? The books are a little bit closer. A lot of the problems that you see there are also the really heavy, deep discounting. So the retailer fear there is not so much with the digital readers and things like that. It's the dominance of the really deep discounting. Because when you devalue a product, to make money on a product, someone needs to sell it for $2.99 or $3.99. Well, the digital stuff's like, it's going to be 99 cents. Well, okay, so if you went back to your job and said, okay, great news. You're going to make 25% of what you made. All you need to do is work 4 times harder, and you're going to have the same amount. If that's what you were looking at with cutting that. So the deep discounting is a huge issue within books and within the stability of really large megastores and things like that.
Right, next question.
How much of the blame should be put on the publishers for alienating the kind of readers, like the too many variants, too high prices, horrible storylines?
My answer would be there's not enough blame to that exists to lay on those publishers for that kind of stuff. I agree. Here's what we've done in comic over the past 70 years. We've successfully taken a mass medium and turned it into a niche market. Yeah.
I agree. I mean, We very much love the idea that and need that focus again. Again, we need more outlets.
Yeah.
We need more people into it. We need more people who are writing towards a larger audience.
I know. If only we had a vehicle by which we could reach everyone in this room. If only we had some sort of distribution model.
Again,
I think
anybody who looks down on digital as a way to reach new people, I think that would be a silly thing to do, obviously. I don't think that's an argument against the print comic.
No, I kind of look down on comic stores as a way of reaching people.
I do think that there's a point about content and how that intersects with digital, because we talk about digital and how it can reach everyone. Yeah. But if you write comics the way that a lot of the mainstream comics have been written, it doesn't matter. No one understands it.
No one's going to read it.
You're trying to get one of these comics?
That takes 6 years of continuity to understand. They're not going to read it in print, and they're also not going to read it on the iPad either. That doesn't solve your problem. It's always,
right.
It's content. It's always been, for the last 35, 40 years, it's been content and distribution hand in hand that have been the things that have been crippling us. And the beauty of it is, distribution with digital, it doesn't make anybody money at this point, but oh my God, that system exists, and it allows for even the second stringer, the third stringer, the guys who can't necessarily find their voice in print to come online and find a way to rise to the top of what they've got. So, I'm taking time away from our valuable question.
Next question. There's a line of the mic.
Amanda, you mentioned earlier that you felt that creation costs were more than just sort of the basic, producing the
print,
product.
Yeah.
Are those creation costs like a work for hire cost, or do these deal with licensing and royalties?
Well, again, it depends on what kind of publisher you're talking about. When you're talking to a retailer, so this is just talking to them, but the smaller you are, the more of your own marketing that you're doing as well. So you're talking about your book, you pay the writer, you pay the artist, you pay whoever it is that's helping work with.
As a work for hire.
What's that?
Under that model.
Like if you're making books, you small publisher making books, you're paying everybody. You're paying everybody to do it. So it's covering a ton of costs, if that's what you're asking.
So we have a couple minutes left, so let's do these lightning rounds. Yes.
Just quickly, I would say Disney buying Marvel across from the Microsoft Garden, FT and the Wall Street Journal both assert that. So I don't think anybody should be surprised if Disney were to use Marvel to cut off Diamond Bank and catch people on the side. Second, what is the actual cutoff for getting an issue shipped through Diamond? If there are different levels, could you tell us what they are?
What is it like? It has to sell 2,000 copies?
Yes, 6,200, something like that, dollars that
to be taken. Retail. Yeah, so that's about 2,000 copies or so.
Right, and it's somewhat discretionary within Diamond, depending upon the relationship you have with them.
Big corporations, they get better deals.
If you look at the bottom of the top 300, there's some things that don't quite get better.
Yeah.
Okay, I've been texting publishers to say, quick, what's the cost of a comic? And I've been getting it depends on the comic, rough estimate, color, high side of the cost on low print run would be 70 cents.
Interesting. Okay, high end.
So
okay.
That would be the high cost of a low print
and
run.
What level publisher are we talking about for that?
In color?
I would say, color. I would say a smaller mid.
On a print run of how long? Of how much, though?
Well, when we say small print runs, it was a text message.
Next question.
Do my best here, people.
Yeah, I remember hearing that when Matt Fraction was writing Iron Man Manual Number 1, which was day and date, and made a big splash for that, that he had to make sure that he didn't have anything like a two-page splash, because
it doesn't translate well.
Right,
right.
Yeah. So is that going to die off if digital pretty much takes over?
And when you talk to DC, and I know you're bringing up a Marvel example, but when you talk to DC and they talk about wanting to do these cool Jim Lee fold-out covers, and they're like, this is why we know that the print book, is going to, because we're still going to make these, we're still going to do things. Does that mean everybody is? Not necessarily. Is that the younger guys? And we're kind of almost talking about two different things, because you're talking about, like, what the money in the industry is made on is not the examples of the single guy who can't break in right now. So the $700 million that we're talking about with all the books and going through the distribution channels is not the guys who can't break in on right now. So are they going to start making comics that just fit better into an e-reader? That's absolutely perfectly, you see that probably going on. Are the, where the main money is moving right now, are they going to necessarily do it? So far as we see, no, they're not going to do that. Does that mean it's never going to happen? Well, we're all looking at the same things in the future. I mean, we really are. We're talking about
And also we're talking about switching formats. You know, and you're talking about, designing this content for that format.
I mean,
yeah, it's going to change in the same way. But they're going to be doing different things, too. I mean, you look at the Wednesday comics thing that DC put out a little while ago, and that's a format we really don't have anymore, the giant form comics, on the Sunday page. That's a really cool format, and it was so cool to see that. And that's kind of died out. But we do different things. You know, different things will be done for digital. You know, maybe you won't have those two-page splashes.
And you know what our best thing would be is if there's something cool that they do format-wise with the digital copy, but the print copy, they do something cool that plays to the print copy, and these are used cooperatively to just increase the readership.
Right, and that's a viable scenario. I agree with you. I think that's the way you go. Or worst case scenario, you go digital first, and then you turn it into a trade paperback, that way, at least that gives the store, you're still in partnership with your comic store.
Right, and like I said, there's examples already of, like, you know, people made money off of the Penny Arcade books,
right.
And people made money off
else's
of
Free Angels.
Yeah.
I think we are out of time. Thank you so much for coming, and thank you to all the panelists.